This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36, Tuesday, 8th of March, and you're listening to The Morning Run together with Philip C, Tan Chen Li, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. In the meantime, we are shifting our attention to China because the Chinese People's Political Consultative Conference, otherwise known as the CPPCC, and the National People's Congress, NPC, are currently ongoing in Beijing. Both meetings, which are held back-to-back, are significant as they serve as a valuable window into Chinese politics.
And also Beijing's priorities for the coming year and the overall policy direction of the country. For some context, the NPC is China's top legislative body that draws 3,000 delegates, while the CPPCC is a consultative body that includes over 2,000 members from various aspects of Chinese society.
And they clearly got their acronyms down pat, because these meetings are the biggest political events before a twice a decade party leadership reshuffle slated for the second half of the year. Even though the meetings have yet to be concluded, statements are already giving hints on the direction that Chinese policymakers intend to prioritize for the year ahead.
So for some insights on this, clearly, because it's important because China is the second largest economy in the world, we are speaking to Pei Qian Liu, who is the Chinese economist from NatWest Markets. Good morning, Pei Qian. Now, China set a GDP growth target of 5.5% for 2022, which is actually a decrease from 6% the previous year. And it's also the lowest in more than three decades, but still at the higher end of the estimates by the different economists. What are the reasons, do you think, that China set a lower growth target for this year?
Well, thank you for your question and having me today. So just put it in a broader context in the longer term, I think that China has entered a new phase with lower potential growth rates, but with more emphasis on the quality of growth. So if we look at the broader scheme, with an aging population, diminishing dividend from productivity and technology catch-up, China's potential growth rate for this decade is expected to be at around 5 to 5.5%.
And is this in line with the whole idea of common prosperity then?
Yes. So common prosperity fits into this higher quality growth goal. So achieving higher quality of growth and common prosperity as a long-term goal, China has been accepting a lower potential growth rates so that the growth model will be shifted away from massive debt accumulation or a return of the old style investment-led growth model. Instead, the focus is much more on consumption, manufacturing upgrading, but the growth rates will naturally be lower. So a target of 5.5% is actually an ambitious target for this year, in our view.
And then what do you think would be the pertinent action for China to in order to reach this growth target of 5.5%, even though you say that it's kind of ambitious?
Yeah, so because the baseline assumption is that we don't expect China to roll out another round of massive stimulus. But with an ambitious goal like this, I think more easing measures will likely to be rolled out. The easing on fiscal and monetary stimulus will likely to focus on support infrastructure investments to maintain a strong growth momentum. At the meantime, we also expect the government to help corporates to lower their financing costs by benchmark rate cuts or tax cuts in the year to come.
So Pei Qian, we also heard that President Xi was saying that houses are for the living in and not for speculation. But the ability of China to meet these growth targets, doesn't it really depend on the housing market? And, you know, we saw overnight China Evergrande's chairman was not invited for the CBBC. So how do Chinese policymakers, you know, stabilize the housing market?
Yes, as you mentioned, that property is for living and not for speculation has been an overarching long-term goal, and that has not been changed in this year's two sessions. And we think that the deleveraging stance on the property sector will likely to remain firm overall. But on the other hand, it's a rebalance or a fine balance between long-term goal and short-term priorities. In the short term, we see some room for relaxing the property sector measures, particularly on the demand side. Policies such as lower mortgage rates, down payments for the first home buyers in some cities could potentially stabilize the property prices. And the focus for easing will also likely to be more on low-income group, such as rental housing or low-income, increased affordability of low-income group for housings, which is also in line with China's long-term goal of achieving common prosperity as well.
Now, prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Russia was looking east and engaging in more commercial activities in China. So all these recent sanctions imposed on Russia, does it actually accelerate the and cements Russia's commercial ties with China? Are they going to do more and more together in the future?
Well, in the long term, I think trade and investments with China will likely increase if the settlement in yuan is a viable alternative amid all the sanctions from the West. However, the significance and influence of Chinese payment trade settlement system is still limited in scale. So we expect the increasing commercial interaction with China to remain as an alternative hedge for Russia, rather than a complete replacement of the existing global trading and financial system.
I want to ask about oil, actually. So China is one of the world's largest importers of oil. Will soaring oil price be a headwind to China in achieving its GDP growth target of 5.5%? And to what extent will this impact be?
I think oil price feeds into the picture in terms of China's PPI inflation pressures. So with surging oil prices, China's PPI will face more pressure of easing in its path of normalization. However, I think fiscal and monetary policy are still domestically focused, and we have seen that China set a CPI target of around 3%, which we think will be achievable even with higher energy prices. So overall, I think domestic fiscal and monetary stimulus will likely to be still in place, which will be able to stabilize the growth momentum.
Which then brings to the point about their zero COVID policy, right? Do you think China will anytime ease that?
I still see that as a risk because China's zero COVID strategy looks here to stay in the short term in absence of widely adopted mRNA vaccine or antiviral drugs. However, during the MPC, we have heard from the officials that they have pledged more targeted pandemic control policies that aims to minimize disruption to economic activities rather than to clear COVID cases to absolute zero. So with that stance, I think there is more room for domestic economic recovery to become stronger as China continues to remain very prudent on border reopen. So in view of this continuous strict COVID management policies, we think that there is need and room for stronger easing policies to support a stable growth this year.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Pei Chen Liu, China economist from NatWest Markets, giving us her view on the 5.5% GDP growth target that the Chinese government has set for this year, which she thinks is rather ambitious. And yes, because there's talk of recession looming for all of us because of the inflationary pressure and high oil prices. But I think because China's economy is so large, the population so huge, maybe the Chinese government has the view that they can be somewhat insulated from the war in Ukraine.
And the CPI that they have set, the target, which is 3%, which Pei Chen said is very achievable, and she doesn't foresee a rate cut or maybe a rate hike maybe. So it seems to be quite in control in China.
Well, I think the key word here is control of their economy and destiny. You talk about the inflation not being affected. You talk about zero COVID policy where you're controlling borders. I think the key to China's economic growth is the ability to maintain control.
Well, as we know, what is the priority in China? The priority of China is to prevent any form of social unrest. So hence this policy of common prosperity, right, where you want to achieve a better quality of life for your population, move from debt-driven economy, which you have done in the last 20, 30 years, towards a consumption one. But whether that path is linear and as easy, I think those are questions that we will be asking ourselves. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.